This insert is brought to you by Radio K Pulpit 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.
Good morning, Wendy. Hope you're well.
Good morning, Brad. I'm good, thanks. How are you?
Could be better. The brain and the mouth are not friends this morning, it would seem. This is a fascinating topic that we're talking about here this morning, the dangers of mold, because it almost feels there are some homes out there, and I know we've even spoken about this a few years ago when I first thought about it. There was this cupboard in the bathroom that I opened. I thought, what is that sort of musty smell that is in there? And then I initially thought, oh, I don't think it matters too much. And then decided, no, this needs to be checked out. Unpacked it, and I think some water might have leaked through from the sink above, but there was little black spots. And I thought, I don't think I should be ignoring those little black spots that were forming.
Yeah, that's quite right. And I think when you can smell it, then you know that it's quite severe. A lot of time, mold is just present and we can't really smell it. But yeah, it is definitely something that we should be doing something about. We shouldn't just ignore it.
So people might say, this is a weird conversation topic. Usually we talk about food. Are we talking about food mold? Well, we might be. This is just mold in general, and it's not really good for us, is it, Wendy?
No, it's not. So it can have several impacts on our health. And the severity of the impact will depend on the type of mold, obviously also the extent of the exposure, and then our immune function. So some people will be more susceptible to mold toxicity or the effects of mold toxicity than others.
Seems like the frog in my throat has made its way through the Zoom channels and jumped on you there, Wendy. Let's talk about the effect that it can have on our breathing, because I'm guessing those spores help us out. Are those things that we are breathing in?
Yes, we are breathing those in. And so that exposure to those mold spores can irritate our airways. So we can have coughing, we can have wheezing, shortness of breath. If people who have asthma, it can either cause an onset of asthma in some individuals, or it can worsen asthma in others, both children and adults. And it can cause allergic reactions. So people can have sneezing or runny noses or nasal congestion and itchy eyes.
Is it a reaction to those spores, that allergic reaction that we're having? Is that something that you can say, like, I'm allergic to grass seeds, but I'm also allergic to mold? Is that just an allergy that we carry?
Yes, so you can definitely be allergic to it. And if you are, then the exposure to that is going to trigger an immune response in your body. And depending on, as I said, on the severity of the exposure, it will also depend on how bad that response will be.
What about people that are immunocompromised? Are they at greater risk?
They're at a much higher risk to these type of infections. And it also, mold will exacerbate any sort of autoimmune condition. So if there is mold, that mold needs to be sorted out first. It kind of takes priority over many of the other things, because it puts so much pressure on the body's immune system. So it can make other symptoms much worse.
So here we're really talking about breathing in the spores and how it affects us from a respiratory perspective. I mean, is it possible that it's just plain toxic? I mean, can it kill you?
Yes. Well, mold is called a mycotoxin. And certain of these species produce these mycotoxins, which can contribute to a whole range of symptoms. So things like chronic fatigue, headaches, brain fog, joint pain, skin irritation. Over a long term and a lot of exposure, it can affect our nervous systems and, as I said, our immune systems as well.
Could it be that we are experiencing things like brain fog and headaches that we can't seem to figure out, and struggling with chronic fatigue, and we are being potentially diagnosed with right, left, and center with any number of things? Meanwhile, there's just some certain issue around damp in our homes that we need to clear up. I mean, could it be something like that?
It absolutely could be. And I think because people overlook that, if you go to somebody and you have these symptoms, The first question out of their mouths is generally not, are you exposed to mold? So I think, we don't always put that connection together. You might think, oh, yes, I've got mold in my bedroom or my bathroom, but it's not, that can't be causing it.
Yeah, I mean, I've even seen bathrooms, particularly during the winter time when it's very damp and stuff isn't drying well and there's not much circulation. You can sometimes see it even sitting on ceilings and walls, this sort of black stuff and that stuff. We need to be getting rid of that because this is what's contributing to all that we're talking about this morning.
Yes, exactly. So we should not have mold in our homes. You can get something called sick building syndrome, where you have chronic exposure to mold through damp, and that can come through, air conditioning vents. You can wonder why, when you go to a certain place, do you feel foggy and not well, but when you go to a different place, you don't have the same symptoms. That's typically an indication that the place that you might be working at has mold or something else that's causing a toxic reaction in your body.
Yeah, there are many old build office buildings that have been built so many years ago, and you often wonder what stuff is sitting in the air conditioning ducts that's suddenly filling everybody's lungs as it fills every room.
Exactly. And if you have this prolonged exposure, it can contribute to chronic inflammatory response syndrome, which doesn't obviously happen to everybody, but in sensitive individuals. And as I said previously, it can worsen pre-existing chronic illnesses. So, like respiratory and autoimmune conditions can be much worse if you're exposed to this kind of damp environment all the time.
When can you test for mold? Is there a blood test or something one can do that you've had mold exposure?
There's a mycotoxin test. It's usually a urine test, and it's not done through our traditional lab, so it would have to be sent away to a special lab. So that can be tested, but yeah, if there's any suspicion that there might be mold, there's a good idea to just treat it anyway.
Let's just wrap up this week's conversation. We've spoken a lot about breathing in the spores and the respiratory response and immune response. But what about if we were to touch it or somehow get it on our bodies? Can that have an effect on us, that contact with our skin?
Yes, it can. So, it could exacerbate things like eczema. People can develop hives, other rashes, eye irritation. So there's all sorts of physical symptoms that you can experience outside of the body as well.
Yeah, this is certainly a fascinating conversation. I think some people are thinking, oh, I've got to check that out. I've got to speak to the caretaker in the office building just to make sure that when last have they cleaned those air conditioner filters and all of those things that are pumping the air all into where we sit all day long. Wendy, this is a fascinating conversation. We'll have a part two the next time that we connect next Thursday. We'll talk about some chronic exposure risks and then we'll have a look at how we can fix these things. Wendy, appreciate your time and your expertise. A nice different take on things this morning, but I think with some of the things that you mentioned, those symptoms, it's worthwhile people who are struggling to get to the bottom of them to consider the possibility of mold exposure. So thanks for opening our eyes to that. Appreciate your expertise, Wendy. Thank you.
It's a pleasure. Have a great Thursday.
This insert was brought to you by Radio K Pulpit, 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.